I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
All right, we are back, coming to you live from the BKFC Global Headquarters up here in Philadelphia. Before we shoot out to Vegas, Matt, I don't know if you just heard that part about the gun to shoot the vaccine.
Yeah, it goes to the skin.
Yeah, they did that in 1979 when I went in the military. So it's not something new to shoot shots that way.
Huh.
Just saying. All right, without further ado, let's head out to Las Vegas as we get ready for another action-packed card on Saturday night. Your buddy and mine on the card. We just spoke to him a couple weeks ago in Nebraska. Let's welcome back to the program the Cuban Missile Crisis, Julian Marquez. Julian, how are you, buddy?
On top of the world. I'm talking with you again. We're back on the radio. Dude, I can't be more blessed than I already am.
I know that we talked a couple weeks ago about a lot of things, but I'm curious, have you had the opportunity to jump that website and tell me what odd socks you want?
Oh, I've been looking at them all. I haven't bought any yet, and I've just been looking at all the different ones. You have some SpongeBob ones on there. You have some pizza ones, Superman, Scooby-Doo. It's so hard to just figure out which kind I want. Like, it's so crazy because I have a bunch of various different ones. I have ones with my little nephew on it. I have ones with Pokemon. I have ones with just random cats. It's like, what do I really want to floss out with?
I know how difficult it is because I went to the store and he said, pick some out. And I'm literally looking at them like, I don't know what to take. And I took obviously some Rocky Balboas, and I just took it to the Rocky Balboa statue. And I put the socks like on his feet of the statue. It was, I thought it was cool. Most people thought it was corny, but whatever.
Hey, I think that's pretty awesome. Like, you literally put Rocky Balboa on Rocky Balboa, and you got a photo, obviously. So that's pretty
obviously
awesome.
Well, you know, when you have time, you know, over the next couple of days, you know, 3-4 minutes, you're trying to, you know, blare out, you know, of what's going through your mind and maybe not thinking about the fight on Saturday, jump to the website, get me a list of some. And when we send you some for coming on the show, I'd rather it be the ones that, you know, that you want.
Oh, heck yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, there's so many options. It's like literally going into a candy shop with, literally, they're all the same. They're all the same candy, but you just got to figure out all these different flavors.
I agree with you. Now I may get you a little upset because I spoke to Josh Wells, and he doesn't think your pickleball game is up to snuff.
Oh, he doesn't want to play this. You know, I understand.
No, no, he wants to play you. He doesn't think your game is going to be that good.
We were just looking at this. He might have to come out to Kansas City and play with us.
There's a big event with the
Chiefs guys, but you know, just man, I'll come out there and beat him, you know, privately, or we can make it public.
Oh, it's got to be public. It's got to be public.
Oh yeah, he doesn't. You know, he's a good block. He's a tough guy, but I'm way too agile, way too, you know, pickleball savvy.
Let me ask you this, because you know Josh is going to bring it up. What's going on with your Chiefs?
My Chiefs? Oh, man, they just
you wouldn't know it's there without getting on the ladder or taking the fridge off, so they wouldn't.
You're cutting in and out. A lot of noise going there wherever you're at there, Julian.
Oh, I thought that was from you.
No, I think it's from you.
No, that's not for me. That's for you guys. I'm in a random room.
Oh, well, you know, I know what it is. Let me dump Matt then, because it must be from Matt.
Well, if you're looking at the oven in the kitchen.
So yeah, what's going on with your Chiefs?
Man, the Chiefs are just getting their stuff and getting their games figured out. It doesn't matter about the first half. It matters about the end half. No one's going to sit there and critique the Super Bowl champions. So,
I mean, are you worried? Are you concerned?
Not at all. This is the thing: is that the Chiefs are doing everything correctly. They're playing the toughest teams right now. They're figuring themselves out. They've seen the toughest teams in NFL right now. I mean, look, we lost to the Ravens, super tough team. We lost to the Bills, super tough team. I mean, those are top of the line teams. But this is the thing, is that everyone's going to think that they're going to walk over us, and then later in the season, you're going to see us dominate like we always do.
So do you expect not only the Chiefs but the Bucs to be there in L.A.?
Man, you know what? I don't see the Bucs. Man, the Bucs have a tough pill to swallow whenever in their division. I mean, but they have Tom. Tom is good. Tom can play. But let's see how they play. You know, they haven't been looking too sharp lately. They got some little suspect ones. I mean, they played Miami, which it's Miami.
Right.
They haven't really had a tough test yet.
No, I agree with you. You know, the offense can only do so much. Obviously, the defensive backs, the safeties, the corners, you know, that's their biggest concern. You know, getting Richard Sherman maybe in a couple of weeks, so, you know, he'll be in physical shape to do what he needs to do there. But that is the concern. It would be the defense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the thing, is that, like, the Chiefs and the Bucs are an offensive team. Their defenses are what we need to work on. We need to build on it. Same as the Bucs. But, you know, we're talking about two of the greatest quarterbacks. One, the greatest quarterback to walk the earth, and the other is the baby, you know, the baby goat. They're going to figure it out. Andy Reid is an intelligent coach. He's going to help fix this team up. The team, it's been tough, but this is how we play. This is Kansas City. Kansas City, once you think they're out, don't count them out, because next thing you know, they're going to come back. They're going to dominate.
That is definitely true. I know that it's just the start, and I always ask it this way. It's Wednesday. It's just the start of fight week. How do you prepare? How do you get through the next couple days to get to what I know a lot of you like to call Christmas Day and your fight on Saturday?
Man, I watch. I have the greatest, you know, corner, greatest team around me, so we just joke around. We watch series. We watch movies. We just have conversations. We watched we got baseball going on right now, so we're in there. We just watched the Dodgers come back last night and tie up the series against the San Francisco, watched Houston win. Like, we're still entertained while we're sitting here in a quarantine hotel, and it's just another day. You know, nothing changes. I'm always ready.
What did you think of the Rays Red Sox series? And anytime something goes bad, it seems to always happen to the Rays. You know, I don't think it was done on purpose, but that ground rule double might have cost the Rays not only that game but the series.
Dude, that cost them everything, man. Like, I was very shocked. Dude, the Rays were so like dominant throughout the years. I was like, well, this is like a team. This is a contention team. And the next thing you know, like, the Red Sox, well, they were always doing good, but I could not believe that they came back. Like, majority of the, if you bet the Red Sox, they were the underdog the entire time, which was unreal.
The thing that I don't get, and, you know, like I said this earlier, you know, in the program, I don't want anybody to ever lose their job, but, you know, Cash is a great manager. He was manager of the year, but he makes some of the biggest bonehead decisions. And for a baseball fan, you know, to walk the bases loaded with the winning run at third base and less than two outs, and he doesn't do it. He pitches to the Red Sox best hitter, and of course they lose. And sometimes you can overthink yourself out of a game, out of a series, and potentially go to the World Series.
Look, you know, there's just a different game right there. You know, you have to understand, like, that's him having trust in his pitcher. That's him having trust on what's going on at the moment. Like, we don't know what's going on at the moment. Yeah, it would have been great to walk the next guy or walk him, but, like, you can't really call it on that. That's not a bad decision, because whatever he saw or felt at that present moment in time was what he needed to get done, and then just didn't work out for him.
Obviously, he's a major league manager, and I'm just some clown on the radio, but, you know, that's what I would have done. My dad taught me that. You want the double play. You want the, you know, the force at home plate. But, you know, he took a team to the World Series last year, and I watched it on TV.
Yeah, you know, I mean, either way, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, you got to sit there and look at the unrealistic calls that the Ravens were making this past weekend against the Chargers. Like, they legitimately were, and it wasn't the Chargers. It was, who the hell are they playing? I can't even.
The Colts.
The Colts, yeah, the Colts. They just played the Colts, and on fourth down, multiple times, they went for it. and they went for the extra 2 points. Like, some people would punt in those situations. They're sitting there like, hey, man, we got to figure this out. And look, they came back and won. Like, you never really know. You take a risk, high reward. And, you know, the Tampa Bay took a risk, and it didn't reward them well.
Hey, Julian, so, look, we know you're in the prime of your career. You got your fight coming up, UFC Fight Night this Saturday at the Apex Center. We saw you at the Bare Knuckle event in Omaha. I don't know if you'll be at Wichita on the 29th, on the 23rd. But the point is, like, now that you're into the UFC, it used to be kind of like that was the end, the holy grail, right? Like, okay, I'm going to fight as long as I can for the UFC, and then I'm going to retire and go off into the sunset like so many did. But now that the BKFC is back and is growing, and some of these guys are coming over from these legendary names and legendary figures, the Joe Riggs and the Melvin Gilliards and Diego Sanchez's allegedly, does it change your strategy and game plan fighting currently, like knowing that there's a career after UFC?
No, not at all. I don't sit there and as much as I respect BKFC and as much as I enjoy watching it, I mean, I have friends that are fighting in it and everything. I don't look that far when it comes to fighting. Like, I don't ever feel like my career is going to end, knock on wood, you know. But having the opportunity could definitely change it. But at the process right now, I'm not really thinking about that being an end goal. It is a possibility, but I haven't really thought of it. Sat there and been like, okay, I can always go here. Because the moment you start thinking about that, then you stop focusing on what's at the present. And at the present right now, I have 100% control over.
Speaking of the present, I always ask fighters, when you're given a name, you know, do you go and kind of look at and, you know, look at records and schedules and this, that, the other? You have 3 out of your last 4 fights were bonus fights. So instead of you looking at that, do you think the other fighters are looking at, hey, this is an opportunity to go have a fight of the night. This guy comes to fight. It should be a good fight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they think. I don't know how their coaches think. I don't know what they, you know, break down. I mean, they just know that whenever they have to sign the dotted line against me, it's 100% a fight. Like, you know, you have to fight me. It's not you're going to walk through me. It's not that you're going to catch me. It's not that. It's like, we're going into a fight, and you have to mentally accept that, because if you don't mentally accept knowing that we're going to be in a fight, then you'll be behind.
Give me your thoughts on your opponent Saturday night, Jordan Wright.
Jordan Wright's a great martial artist. He's an amazing fighter, but the difference is that I'm just a different animal. You know, I'm a beast of a different breed, and he hasn't ever seen anything like me. You know, everyone thinks they have until they get into me or get into the, you know, the octagon with me, and then they start realizing, like, oh, there's things that no matter how much tape, no matter how much time they spent training, they start realizing, oh, shit, like, this guy.
Shoot,
I apologize. This guy's way different than what I thought. And the expectations that most people or him is going to have is going to be less than what I'm truly am.
Everybody wants us to get back to normal, whatever normal is. You know, fans, full fans. And I know that there have been some events at T-Mobile, and there's talk about one going to California. But we're still using like I'm a fighter, right? Still, a lot of fights are at the Apex. Give me your thoughts and the difference between fighting at the Apex, where, you know, it's smaller and, you know, everybody's fought in smaller, you know, arenas coming up to the UFC. But how different is it to go in there and fight with no fans or very little fans, and what do you need to do to prepare for that?
Man, I know it doesn't change anything to me. The outcome, it doesn't change my mentality. It doesn't change any of the settings. You know, just the venue may change, but the goal's still the same. Like, when I show up and there's 10 fans or 10,000 fans, I don't hear them. I just focus on what's going on. I hear my own coaches. Now, is it fun looking back at it? Like, after you're done, like, oh, crap, like, that was insane. Like, did you hear the fans? Did you feel the fans? Like, that's amazing hearing that and them roaring and screaming, especially being there as a spectator. It's amazing to see that. But when I'm in the process or in the fight, I don't hear any of that.
One of the things I like about no fans is you don't hear the Ric Flair woo. You don't hear the sweep the leg, get him a body bag, you know, all of the Cobra Kai and Karate Kid lines.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Like, there's a lot of outside noises, but, you know, that's for the spectators. The spectators can hear that, but as a fighter in the octagon and not being hyper-focused at the job and the task at hand, like, you don't really hear that. You only focus on who you need to hear, and that's your coaches. But it's super fun. Like, after you get the victory, like when I was in Winnipeg, just feeling the energy that was presented to the whole entire crowd that night was absolutely surreal. Or being at UFC 261, who's been first hospital, just that feeling of the fans and the excitement and understanding what this event did for them was absolutely amazing. Now, being in...
And I agree with you, you know, that as well. I'd love being there, you know, with fans and the atmosphere. You can be watching the very first fight. The fans get into it. The fighters get into it, and it definitely adds to it. I want you to talk real quick about how small the world is. So, you know, Matt, I believe, told the story on the radio. He may or may not. I'm not sure. But I know he told me the story. And then you told me the story from your angle of when your uncle called you. And I just found that so funny that I'd love for you to talk about that for a second.
Yeah, it's insane how like we're all connected in one way or another. Where, you know, Matt, I get a phone call from my uncle saying that he met a fighter, or he met, you know, Matt himself, and he was telling me like all the cool stuff that he did for him and the things he did with the Marriott Hotel and helping him and his family and friends and everything, just make sure that they were set. And this was years prior. I'm talking about maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago. I don't even know. This is a while ago, or it feels that way. And then come to find out at BKFC in Nebraska, Matt's telling me the story about how he met my uncle. And I was just like, wait a minute, that's my uncle. Like, how he met Richie. And it was just like, it was just a wild little turn of events to where, I mean, I guess we're all meant to meet each other in one way or another, right?
Right. It's just crazy how small the world is. Go ahead, Matt.
It was way more impactful than that, Julian. First off, it was just this summer. It was literally at the end of June or middle of June this year. And my wife and I had booked an Expedia Express deal, which is a concept where you don't know where you're going to stay. You just have a zone, and it gives you a couple of hotels to choose from. You pay the price online. Then once it's collected the money, they send you the hotel. We got to Detroit at like midnight. I had my two daughters with me, 7 and 9-year-old little girls. I got my wife with me. And one of the hotels they put us in was literally in the ghetto. I mean, it was so dangerous that we couldn't even like walk outside our car. So Expedia calls back and they're like, hey, there's another hotel. Let us see if we can work this thing out for you. And so we got there, but because of all the chaos online, your uncle stepped in and he just took care of it all. He's like, look, I got this. Get this family off the street. Get them taken care of. Get them in a room. We'll figure out all the Expedia stuff in the morning. And so we started talking. I talked about the radio show and the Knockout Radio. And I was going to broadcast the show live from their hotel. And it turned out it was your uncle. And he just nonchalantly was like, yeah, my nephew fights for the UFC. And I'm like, oh, really? Because everybody has a story. Like, oh, my grandson's nephew's cousin did karate one time. About Knockout Radio, they want to tell me their martial arts story, and I was like, "Oh yeah," I was like, "Who's your nephew?" I was just kind of like, you know, expecting him to be a nobody, and it was you. I was like, "Whoa!" So it was a small world. Your uncle's a hero. He saved the day, and I'll be forever grateful to your family for that.
Hey man, that's amazing. You know what's crazy is the fact that the years have gone so fast these past 2 years, yet so slow that I, honest to God. Like, I even though it happened in June for this summer, I literally thought it was like years ago. I thought it was an eternity ago.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it was fabulous.
How time flies like that. Hey, before we let you go, a couple more things I want to ask you about. Do you collect anything, whether it's, you know, trading cards or, you know, baseball cards or baseball autographs or anything at all?
Yeah, I collect a lot of different things. I collect a bunch of Harry Potter memorabilia. I collect a bunch of Spider-Man memorabilia, race car. Dude, I have a bunch. What else do I have at the house? I usually movie props. I have a collector of movie props, so like different, like Home Alone. Just recently dropped the new Home Alone Adidas shoe, and it's a special one. And they haven't came out yet, but they're going to come out this holiday season. So I collect those. I collect shoes. I'm a collector of a lot of different things.
Wow. So if you could get one thing, one piece of memorabilia, it could be anything from a movie, from a fight, from a this, from a that, what would be that golden, holy grail item that you'd like to get?
Me, the holy grail item? Ooh, that's such a tough question. I would actually love the Amazing Spider-Man comic book number one signed by Stan Lee. That would probably be the holy grail of holy grails. That comic book is just, I've always loved Spider-Man. I've always loved that. Loved Spider-Man through my uncles and growing up, but that would be the holy grail, is getting the very first written book by Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man.
Go, Matt.
Oh, so, I know location doesn't matter, processes doesn't matter, fan in the crowd doesn't matter, but what about the size of the octagon? The apex is 25 foot as opposed to a 30-foot octagon on the road. Does that play into your game plan at all? Does that change the strategy?
I've never. Majority of my career has been inside the 20-foot octagon, so this is home to me. The bigger octagons, I haven't had enough time in them to tell you the difference.
Nope. There you have it. Yep. Finally. What can the fans expect Saturday when those doors shut and the Cuban Missile Crisis takes on Jordan Wright?
Excitement. They'll be on the edge of their seats. They're going to be thrilled. They're going to be tweeting. They're going to be talking about the greatness that's happening in front of them. And they're just going to be pumped. You don't want to miss it.
And the ETA of Pickleball 1 in Tampa, Julian versus Josh Wells, when can we expect that?
Me and Josh got to speak to each other and figure that out. I know he's part of the he's competing right now, so it might have to be a little bit later.
Well, they have a bye week coming up. We need to set it up sooner than later. But for coming on the show.
Coming out there in November. I think their November 18th is their bye week.
Right. So there you go. Let's set that up. I'll get with Josh. Matter of fact, he'll be in Philly later today. So I'll try to get with him and set that up. For coming on, we already talked about the odd socks. So try to get me a couple pair that you'd like. And they'll send you more, but you know which ones you want. We're going to send you some more 8-Man Strong gear. I want to make sure that I send some 8-Man Strong for your uncle as well. So if you can text me back his size, I know that we have your size, but what his size is so we can send him that. And we're going to send you a pair of earbuds from Jabral Electronics as well.
Oh, you're amazing. I appreciate you guys.
I appreciate your time. Have fun awesome, on Saturday buddy. Night, and can't wait to see you again.
Thank you, Randy, Matt. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, take care.
See you, buddy.
Julian Marquez, and you're right. I got to sit with him for, I don't know, it seemed like, you know, he was saying how it seemed like it was years ago, your event. Seemed like I sat there for hours just talking to him. And every time, you know, I went to get up to leave, you know, because I didn't want to monopolize, and he was there with, I think, a friend. And, you know me, I don't like to do that. So every time I'd get up, he's like, no, stay, let's, you know. So I literally sat there for what seemed like days, and we just talked about stuff. You know, not fighting per se, just stuff. And what a really good guy. I like the guy a lot.
Speaking of stuff, on that summer trip, we stopped by 671 Lincoln Avenue, Winnetka, Illinois, the home of Kevin McAllister and the Home Alone shoes that Julian is now collecting.
Well, so, you know, I would like to get him some piece of memorabilia, but I'm pretty sure that I can't afford number one Spider-Man signed by Stan Lee.
I don't think any of us could.
You know, I tell these stories a lot of times, and my wife is like, why do you tell these? Why do you make yourself look stupid or, you know, whatever? And I'm like, because I don't care. I don't care what people I know and like think of me. I certainly don't care, you know, how people I don't know, right? So right. I go to the CES every year, and you know that, the Consumer Electronics yep. Show. And I'm scheduled to go to the one in January. I'm sure it'll be different from ones in the past. But they would always have these celebrities there. And so I sat in line for probably 4 hours to get an autographed picture for my daughter of the actress who played Ziva, I don't even remember her last name, on NCIS. So I got the photo for her. She loved Ziva. That's why we named our puppy Ziva, blah, 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 blah. So we get through the line, and then the next line is starting. And guess who that line was for?
Stanley.
Stanley. And I'm like, nah, I've been in line long enough. And I'd left.
You left for Stan Lee?
I left and didn't get Stan Lee.
Oh, my God. That's going to go down in one of the top five blunders of your career.
Yeah, if not the. You know, it was definitely up there. And, you know, he seemed really cool. He talked to everybody that came up. And I'm like, I just waited 4 hours. I'm not going to wait another four. All right, let's go ahead.
So, hold on, before you get a break, speaking of the legendary figures, original Captain Kirk went into space today.
Yeah.
On the, what's his name? William Shatner made it into orbit today. So if you heard him at the press conference, he was truly emotional and overwhelmed with emotion and joy. And how great is that? And Captain Kirk finally made it outside the atmosphere.
Did you say the original Captain Kirk? Like there's been more than one?
Like the Captain Kirk.
Yeah, there's only been one Captain Kirk.
Well, the Kirk. We can shorten it. He can be whatever he wants to be.
Yeah. King,
God.
Well, what was his name? The attorney, Denny Crane. I think it was Denny Crane. Did you ever see that show?
No.
Oh, you need to watch it. It's with, I think, something Spade. It's or Spader.
Oh, yeah, David Spade.
Right. No, not David Spade. I think it's Spader. But he was an attorney, Denny Crane, and he's always like, I'm Denny Crane. And he would, like, fumble and bumble his way to winning these cases and stuff. I'm Denny Crane. But you need to watch it, Captain Kirk. And you're right. There have been other movies where there have been other actors playing Leonard Nimoy and Captain Kirk. And what was her name? Lulu? Zulu? I don't remember their names. All right. Let's hit a break. I need a drink. And I'm just talking about a drink of water.
Get it.
Coming to you live from BKFC headquarters, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Juice Newton, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Center. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out every year. Make sure you purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Larry Fitzgerald from the Arizona Cardinals, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we're back. I'm coming to you live from BKFC Global Headquarters here, just outside of Philadelphia. I can't wait. Later tonight, we're going to go do... Wait till you hear what we're going to do tonight, Matthew.
What are you going to do tonight, Randy?
Now, I've been there before, but it's a little different because it's October. So Steve and I are going to go to the Eastern State Penitentiary, which is located in Philadelphia, in like downtown Philadelphia. I went there with Dr. D and his kids, and you know, a couple of years ago when the UFC was in Philadelphia. Al Capone was incarcerated at Eastern State, and his room, it wasn't necessarily a cell. You know, it was really a room. I mean, it was set up like an apartment because it was Al Capone. And it's still there intact. And I guess during October, they're setting it up for Halloween. So there's like four haunted houses. They've turned his suite, not his cell, into a speakeasy.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really going to be cool. We're going to go to Phillips first. As David Feldman suggested, we're going to go do that first. We'll hit Eastern State Penitentiary. Then we'll go to another cheesesteak after. And then we got to go get, I have to get Steve some water ice. And then I need to get him some soft Philadelphia pretzels.
Now, is that Steve's first time to Philadelphia?
No, he said he's been here before. Here, let me even turn him on. Why don't you answer?
Okay. Hey, Steve-O.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
Oh, man. Yeah. It's always sad when my number one fan leaves town.
Yeah. Well, you'll get over. Yeah, I've been a before.
Okay, all right, and no, I don't have an electrician at my house. I'm actually sitting in the chair that Ric Flair sat in when you guys were here at Natalie's house. I'm sitting at the pool, just dockside, watching the beautiful sunset. So.
Oh, okay. Because your mic was bleeding in on the last interview, so we had to shut you off.
Ah, well, yes. But Steve, while we have on the air here, the UFC is obviously a few weeks ago, John Jones was arrested during International Fight Week for domestic assault. And then this week, Luis Pena was released from the UFC for domestic assault. And the question is, why are they different? Why is John Jones still an employee of the same company where Luis Pena is not?
Okay, well, you know that you're going outside my expertise. Mine's tennis. So if you have a tennis question, you can ask me that. Over to you.
Okay. Well, I bought four tennis rackets yesterday, Steve. So I have always in my truck, my mobile gym, I'm always available to play. So anytime you want to come get whooped on the court. But the difference between whooping you on the court and whooping you outside of it is, I guess, the difference between the UFC holding people accountable.
Yeah, okay, very good. What's the next question? Let's keep this sports-oriented.
You're
trying to punch me with words.
Well, let's punch this. So, Randy was wearing a pair of Chucky socks the other day. Chucky being the movie, Halloween, the scary little redheaded man. And John Gruden, a scary little redheaded man, is in the news for his alleged emails that were homophobic and racial in context.
Well, I don't think it's alleged. Hold on a second. I don't think it's alleged.
It's official.
Yeah, I would say
alleged, so I don't get sued. But he has stepped down as head coach of the Raiders. He's been removed from the Ring of Honor as the Buccaneers. So what do you think about if the Raiders go on to win the Super Bowl this year, will Gruden claim to have another Super Bowl like he took Dungy's in 2002?
Should I fire him?
I think you have to participate in the Super Bowl to get the Super Bowl ring.
Well, first off, I would almost love for that to happen because Rich Bisaccia is an awesome dude, and he is the interim head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, I really don't want to get into because I'll lose my license. I'll lose everything, you know, that I have and that I own. So I'm going to stay away from that. But I hope Rich Bisaccia does well. I mean, obviously, I want the Bucs to win the Super Bowl. But if not, I'm all for Rich doing really, really well.
And I was at Michael Clayton's house this morning. Yesterday, he was interviewed by CNN on the Jake Tapper show, I think his name, at 5 o'clock. And they talked about, you know, he was talking about racism in the locker room and from some of the administration during his time playing there. So, you know, it's kind of cool to be this close to the fire, but yet, you know, not get burned by it. But, you know, there definitely needs to be a change of culture, you know, across the board. And it just seems like that's kind of like the old school mentality. And we'll see what happens. I haven't heard an apology from Gruden. I haven't heard him admit wrongdoing. And I don't know if we ever will.
Yeah, that was very good information for the show, but the name dropping, I don't know why you had to put that in there, but all right.
Well, he was a victim, and he was, you know, he was a part of that organization back in that era.
Yeah, but you didn't have to take one over and waxed his car or whatever. I mean, you know.
I mean, I trained him on his birthday. It's his 39th birthday. Happy birthday, Michael Clayton. So, you know, you should say happy birthday as well.
Yeah, happy birthday, Michael Clayton.
Give me your thoughts on tomorrow night there, Matthew. The Bucs up here in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. I think the Eagles are they 2-3? I think they are.
I mean, how can you go against the GOAT? You know, like, how can you go against the Super Bowl champions, the defending champions? You know, I don't think Tom Brady needs a motivation to get excited to, like, play hard or prepare well. You do have a shortened week. And you do have a thumb that's messed up from last game. He hit his helmet on a dolphin head. So
we'll talk more about tomorrow's game, which we are up here to cover in a minute. But let's go back to the phone lines. And I screwed up the phone number. It was my fault. I need to get this checked out. However I'm doing this. But let's go out to Las Vegas and welcome the Beverly Hills Ninja, Jordan Wright. Jordan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I apologize for that. Somehow I changed numbers around, and so my producer called and left a message, but it wasn't for you because it was the wrong number.
Bunch of amateurs. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's all good.
Wow, that hurt. That
hurt. I'm kidding.
It's so true.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny it, but it still hurt that somebody said that. For the record, just to tell you how long I've been on the air, the very first UFC I covered was UFC 11, probably before you were born.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Yeah. Dude. So been around.
It was on the Little House of the Prairie,
yeah,
where it's located.
I watched the Ingalls fight in an octagon.
Oh, no. Battlefield of a course.
Jordan, talk about fight week. You know, what it's like for you, what the experience is like, and, you know, is it different every fight week, or do you try to keep it as same and as normal as the one before?
I mean, I think it gets a little better each time because you get more used to all the stuff you have to do, and you learn how to be a little more comfortable in the whole process. Before, like when I was an amateur, I was just like, wait for it to be done, but now I'm just kind of enjoying it as it goes.
Once Saturday comes, and I typically don't jump to Saturday right out of the blocks, but, you know, once Saturday comes, you know, what's your thought process in the back? I mean, like, are you counting down the minutes? Because, and I just said this to Julian as well, because it's Christmas on Saturday for you guys. So are you counting it down? Do you just kind of block it out? And, you know, when you're told to walk, you walk? you know, how do you handle Saturday?
I don't know. I just kind of just treat it like any other day. Like, I train every single day. I eat healthy pretty much every day. I spar. I live my life like a martial artist so that it's not so much different by the time fight day comes.
Your last fight was in Houston, obviously, with fans. This one back at the Apex. Other than the obvious, the screams, and I said this earlier as well, you know, the screams of sweep the leg and the Ric Flair woo and all that kind of stuff. What are the biggest differences, you know, fighting in front of 25, 28,000, you know, and the silence, basically, of the Apex?
It's always silent to me when I'm in there, to be honest. I feel like the walkout is where it's different because you can really take a lot of – you can – see a lot. People are shouting your name. They're cheering for you. They're booing you. But at the end of the day, once they lock you in there, it's kind of there's no difference.
Joe, Matt,
Hey, George. So I know you trained over at Jackson Wink. You know, Winkle John's gone on record saying that John Jones is banned from the gym until he gets his drinking and his life under control. Is he the only person that can get through to John Jones? Is he the only one that can really save him at this point?
I mean, I don't really know, to be honest. I haven't trained there in a long time. I wasn't even aware of Winkle John's rule against Bones in this situation, but I'm not against it. You know, I think he needs to learn a few things, and I think Wink taking that type of initiative it's good. It's good.
How do you relax, whether it's, you know, fight week or, you know, 2 weeks from now when you get home? Is it, you know, certain TV shows that kind of, you know, have you relaxing? Is it, you know, hitting the streets as the ninja? You know, what do you do to just kind of chill and kind of get your mind off fights?
I mean, that's hard. Like, I don't really get my mind off fights. You know, this is something that I love and I always, I embrace it. It's not something that I'm trying to always, like, separate myself from. So my mind is always pretty much on it, but as far as my relaxation goes, I, you know, play video games, hang out with my family, my girlfriend, go to the gym, chill, read some books. But even the gym, like once I'm at the gym, sometimes I just don't want to leave. Even after the workout's done, I just want to sit down and chill, maybe watch another workout or something. That's how I...
And I'm kind of the opposite. Every time I start to go to the gym, I kind of decide I don't want to go, and I just stay in the house and get another Twinkie. dinner for four. You're going to invite four people over for dinner, living or passed away, real or fictitious. It can't be, you know, guys from the gym. It can't be family, girlfriend, that kind of stuff. You know, how...
Or fictitious? Like, they can be a fictional character?
Do what?
No, you said it can be fictitious as well?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So what four would you invite over?
Miyamoto Musashi, Goku from Dragon Ball Z, I'll say Eckhart Tolle, and Bruce Lee.
And Bruce Lee. All right, at least I know one of the four. Or I know the name of one of the four. Let's bring it to for Saturday, fight night 195, right around the corner. Your thoughts on your opponent, Julian Marquez?
He's a really tough opponent. He's a great challenge. He seems to have his game is pretty fully rounded. And it'll just be a great test for me to grow as a martial artist on fight night.
When you're preparing, you know, for a fight, you know, and I ask a lot of fighters this, and, you know, some do a lot of film on their opponent, and some say, you know, it doesn't matter what the opponent's going to do. It's about what I'm going to do to the opponent. You know, without obviously giving anything away, which side do you kind of fall on?
You know, I believe in balance. I think... you don't want to watch so much that you get so lost in every little thing that they do. And not only that, like sometimes the guy you prepare for isn't the guy that you're standing across on fight night. You know, people fall out of fights. It's you know, we're still, in COVID times. People are pulling out and getting guys signed, taking last-minute fights, things like that. But sometimes, you know, you don't want to be completely blind to what they do. So I believe in a good balance between watching the fights, watching a little bit of them, and then just kind of divorcing yourself from having to think about them all the time and all that stuff.
What's the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened to you or involving you in the middle of a fight? Maybe nothing.
There has to be something. I'm low, I think. Taking me back now.
We need Jeopardy music.
Yeah, no, nothing really stands out. I'm pretty much in the just in the zone when I'm in there.
When you're in a fight, you know, it's kind of like a lot of times I do the radio show, you know, sometimes I'm thinking three questions down and sometimes you don't think anything. You're just kind of doing it.
Actually, you know, I do have a pretty memorable moment from an amateur fight.
Okay.
I just remember kind of, I was 16. The guy was in his 20s. It was a kickboxing fight. And I remember, like, I was losing the first round. I lost the first round. It was pretty lopsided. I did land a head kick at the end of the first round, but I remember being in my corner going into the second, just kind of letting go, being like, okay, I lost that round. The girl who I have a crush on is here watching me fight. My friends are here. My family's here. And then, like, I felt the pressure, but then I just kind of slowly felt it leave. I immediately felt it leave. I just kind of took a breath and was like, you know what, this is okay. Like, I'm just going to give it my best now. This isn't about winning or losing. This is about just doing what I do. And it was kind of like, it was really cathartic because it kind of set a tone for any time that I do get too much in my own head or fall under the pressure or, you know, get into those kind of modes where I feel like my world is crumbling down. You just kind of got to let go and understand, like, hey, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. So I just got to take it for what it is. And I was really happy that happened as early as it did. And I ended up going out in the second round and finishing him.
Wow. You know, and that's an interesting story. And I was going to say, and then you just said it, it's probably beneficial that it happened so early to kind of, you know, lay the groundwork for, you know, the future of your career.
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at my pro record and I don't have any decisions. But as an amateur, I went to decision a few times. And it kind of taught me how to be calm in the moment, how to pick my shots, how to be more precise, not rush things. And, yeah, just kind of let whatever happens happen.
Do you collect anything, you know, whether it's, you know, memorabilia, trading cards, record albums, anything like that?
Not so much anymore, but every once in a while, if I see a cool, like, action figure, like an anime action figure or something, I'll just for collection's sake, not just for, because I buy video games and stuff from time to time, but that's not really collecting. But yeah, like, if I see a cool, like, Dragon Ball Z or anime action figure or some type of anime memorabilia that I just have to have, yeah, I'll collect something like that.
How about Panini just took over the UFC trading card business? Have you seen them? Do you have any of them? Do you want some of them?
I've seen them. I don't have any of them. But yeah, I mean, to have a few would be pretty cool, but it's not really my shtick. You know, collecting things in general isn't really my thing. Even on the whole action figure or anime memorabilia kind of thing, it's not something I really go out of my way to do anymore. But when people gift me stuff like that, oh, I love it.
All right, so I'll gift you some Panini. I will email the PR director, who's a friend of mine. I'll get him your address because I know that we have that for some other things we're going to send you as well. But I'll have him send you some Panini boxes and enjoy those. Before I let you go, tell the fans what they can expect to see Saturday night when you and Julian shut those doors.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You didn't have to do any of that for me, but I really appreciate you going to send me some things. And yeah, as far as the fight night goes, they can expect to see just a martial artist going out and doing his best.
We're going to send you out a package from 8-Man Strong, so some gear from them. We're going to send you some earbuds from Chiral Electronics. And we're going to send you some really cool socks from Odd Sock Official. If you want to check them out over the next couple days, tell me which kinds you want. I mean, they have all sorts of stuff. It's outstanding. And we'll send you a box of those as well for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Jordan. Thank you very much. Have a good week and have fun on Saturday.
Yes, I will. And y'all have a good one, too.
You as well. That is Jordan Wright. who gets in the octagon Saturday, and I'm about to take Matt and put him in an octagon.
Here's what I just found out, Randy.
What?
So I'm on the Jabra headset, the wireless earbuds. And so I thought that the sound was coming through my headset, so I was outside, but I left my computer inside the house, and apparently the people working, you could hear everything they were doing.
Like the electrician, and right now they're installing kitchen cabinets.
And she's stuck in the fridge with water. Like it's like a movie. You couldn't have timed it any worse.
Is the water like in one of those beer kegs? I mean,
have you ever met a stupider human being than this jackass?
The water comes with a gong, like one of those gong things. After every sixth bottle, you ring the bell.
I thought it was like, you know, we're out in the middle of Park Boulevard and construction site.
Speaking of ring the bell at the BKFC fight in Montana.
I would rather you not speak at all, to be honest.
The first fight, the bell guy didn't really ring the bell right. So Dan Margliotta, Big Dan, runs over and goes, "What was that?" And he stopped the fight. Like, the guy still had 10 seconds left to fight. But he stopped the fight because the ring guy was, the bell guy was not doing it right. So Dan had to teach the guy how to ring the 10-second clapper.
Yeah, you just threw that right over to him to get away from your story about leaving the laptop in the kitchen there with the electrician that you said you didn't have.
It's not my house, not my electrician. But I will ride on the boat in a little bit. So,
very new. Very good.
It's a good life, Steve.
Yep. I know. I see you living it. Matt, the mat thrower.
that's my name.
Just do nothing. I'm just going to bide my time for the next 4 minutes, and then I can. Unbelievable.
Oh, but Randy, so, I mean, Chuck Liddell was arrested this week for domestic violence. Do you have any insight on that? Is there any new
information? I have all the insight, but I'm not going to give it to you.
Are you going to disclose it with our fans?
What now? What are you doing? Going to the bathroom now?
I know.
It's a fountain and a pool. I'm on vacation.
How do I get him off this phone call? I swear
I'll
to
go, you guys can really hear that. That means the Jabra headphones are that good, because that pool is 30 feet away from me.
How do I delete him off? You know?
It's running smooth up here at BKFC Global Headquarters up here.
I don't know how to delete him off the air.
But that's amazing, though, if you can hear the far away. You need to get up.
I thought somebody was filling ice cube trays.
How do we delete them off this? I'm afraid if I hit the delete button, I'll delete myself and then leave him on all by himself.
And you can't
tell it earlier. It was wonderful.
Anyway, so I'm looking for a new Coco host that is effective immediately. Somebody who doesn't wear earbuds to do a radio show. If you know anybody, Matt, let me know. Good, he's gone. That's the best thing that's happened so far. He's perfect. Gone.
Must be out in the boat with Ric Flair.
Who cares? So, Buccaneers, they land in a couple hours here in Philadelphia. Taking on the Eagles. I'm hoping that, and letdown game's not the right thing. And Knucklehead brought up about Chuck Liddell, so let me respond to that real quick. So, I made a phone call to a very good mutual friend, and I know the story. I'm aware of what happened. I'm aware of who was guilty and who was not. I'm aware of why Chuck was arrested. I texted him. He responded back to me, and then he put a post up on his Instagram, and he made some clarification. He said the truth will be coming out shortly. The truth of what I know. He said that there's been some issues over the past, and he tried to keep his personal life personal. Now that it's not personal, now that it is out in the open, he will respond to it in the next couple days. And when you hear what has been going on, I think you're going to be flabbergasted, because I think most people think domestic abuse, it's the male always on the female. and I'm not letting anything out of the bag of this, you know, whatsoever, but it can be either side. And domestic abuse can be more than physical. It can be emotional. It can be a lot of things. And I think people are going to be quite intrigued, if that's the right word, quite intrigued on the details when it comes out. And to put Chuck and loop Chuck in with Luis Pena and John Jones and all that, I think is highly unfair. And it's unfair because people don't know the details. And I think you will know that very, very soon. So first and foremost, I want to apologize to everybody for Matt's electronic blunders. And we will be back, hopefully, next week. Same bat channel, same bat time. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson.
She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.